Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm going to try to contact our guest. I'm typing in his phone number now. We'll see if we can get a hold of him. It's dialing. And if this doesn't work, then maybe we'll try Skype.
Hello. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hello, Dick. This is Mark Snyder from Ohio Exopolitics. I guess I've got your answering machine. I will try back in just a few seconds. Well, folks, as you can see, our guest is not ready. I will try one more time. I'm going to send him a quick message via Skype. See if he'll answer that. I just asked him if he was available at that phone number. No, it's not even on Skype. It's very odd. You know, if anything can go wrong, sometimes it will. Let me try one more time.
Hello?
Hello, Dick. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well, thank you. How are you?
This is Mark Snyder from Ohio Exopolitics.
Yes, I called a second ago.
I must have missed you somehow.
You did. Thank you for calling back. What's up?
Well, I think we were going to do an interview for half an hour, weren't we?
Oh, my gosh. I was told it was 7:30 your time, 4:30 my time.
Ah, no, it's 4:30 my time. What?
Oh, okay.
Time,
I can do it.
What time zone are you in?
We're Pacific.
Okay. So anyway,
You're in Central?
I'm in Eastern.
Oh, you are. Okay. That's 3 hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Fine.
What time is it there?
It's 1:33, 1:32.
It's way early then.
Yeah.
From what you were expecting. Yeah, that's
right.
Understandable.
But that's okay.
Did you want to tell the audience a little bit about yourself and just kind of introduce things?
Very briefly, yeah, I do.
Fire away.
Are we live or are we recording?
We are live.
Oh, we are. Oh, okay. Well, thank you for having me on, Mark. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah, my name is Dick Larson, and I live in Southern California. And I'm a volunteer for Share International, which is a nonprofit educational organization that's worldwide. And so I'm not the only one giving out the information I'll be giving out today. There are many others. But I'm one of the people that does radio interviews. You know, Share International was started by a man in London named Benjamin Krem, spelled C-R-E-M-E. To get out the word, he traveled the world for about 40 years with no pay, giving out the information that it's time for a great teacher. About every 2,000 years we get a great teacher. And so he was asked if he would take that on, and he did. And so he passed away a few years ago, and there are others of us now in the group that are volunteers that are trying to continue to get the word out to people so that when he comes forward, people will have some idea what's going on.
So was Benjamin Krem really the first person to talk about what they call the Maitreya?
Yeah. No, he wasn't.
Okay.
It's part of something called the Ageless Wisdom teachings. The Ageless Wisdom is a philosophy. It's not a religion. It's a philosophy as old as humanity and has been revealing more information to humanity about who we are and why we're here over the eons. Probably the most recent, other than Benjamin Krem, person who wrote about the Ageless Wisdom and about Maitreya, the world teacher, is a woman named Alice A. Bailey, who wrote about 20 books in the 1930s and 40s. She was the intermediate information about the Ageless Wisdom. And then the most recent, the latest revelation phase, if you want to call it that, of the Ageless Wisdom was Benjamin Krem. He has about 17 books. I'm not here to sell books, but he has about 17 books on Amazon if anyone's interested in checking them out.
Have you ever seen a movie? It's on YouTube. It's called The Hidden History of Humanity.
I have not. Sounds interesting.
It's tremendous. It's just amazing. It's one of the best documentaries just in terms of presentation and music. And it talks about the Ageless Wisdom teachings for about 2.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, you should check it out.
I should.
The Hidden History of Humanity. And
okay.
The YouTube channel is Monadic Media.
Oh, okay.
Does that ring a bell with you?
Well, no, it doesn't. But monad means God, so that makes sense.
Okay.
And it's called
The Hidden History of Humanity.
History of Humanity. I'm going to write that down
I figured it would come, that it must have come from your organization.
No, it didn't. No.
Now, one of the interesting things that he brought up in this movie, and I don't know if this is anything you've ever studied or talked about, but he talked about Atlantis and Lemuria, and they had a lot of things to say about it, but one of the things that struck me really odd is that he said humanity was bigger on the earth then. They were much bigger, but less evolved in some ways. So some part of the process of evolution was us becoming less, I guess, physical in a way, less gigantic. I don't know if your group talks about that or has ever brought anything up about that at all.
Well, what I know about what the Ageless Wisdom says about Atlantis is that it was a real civilization. It
mm-hmm.
was about 100,000 years ago, maybe a little
mm-hmm.
more, and that the masters, I should say who the masters are, shouldn't I? The masters are what we would call our kingdom of heaven. They're great beings who went through evolution ahead of the rest of us. We know them as Jesus, Krishna, Buddha, Confucius. Joan of Arc is one of the great masters now, and so on. These great beings have hung around planet Earth, behind the scenes, been the inspiration of humanity's great steps forward. Well, about 100,000 years ago, they came into physical bodies and walked amongst humanity and taught us, and they thought they would help speed up evolution by giving us science, because we were slow on science. They gave us science, but we weren't emotionally prepared to handle it, and we made weapons that blew ourselves up. And we
mm-hmm.
blew up. That's why pieces of continents fell into the ocean. That's a real story about Atlantis. And we basically blew up most of the civilization
mm-hmm.
because we were over-emotional. And the masters realized, whoa, it's way too early. Humanity's not ready for this yet. We need to return back to the mountains and desert regions of the world and inspire humanity behind the scenes until they're ready for us to come forward again. Well, that must have greatly reduced the population, I'm sure, at the time. So now they say we are ready. Humanity is ready, and we are coming. As a matter of fact, Mark, there are 14 masters in physical bodies I'm told, on the planet right now. My information, by the way, comes from Benjamin Krem, who was in contact with one of the masters. He was asked to not reveal which master it was, but that he would be in steady contact so he could ask questions, he could get answers, he could get information for his talks and things like that, so that it would be accurate information to give to the public. So that's what I knew about Atlantis, is that it was real and that we blew ourselves up because we weren't ready, and so now we're coming around second cycle here. So it's been 100,000 years since the masters walked amongst us. This is a very big deal, what's happening now.
And there are 14 masters, you said, in physical bodies still?
Yes. Yeah, they're in major cities of the world. There's one in London, there's one in Rome, there's one in Geneva, there's one in Darjeeling, there's one in New York, there's one in Tokyo. They're all around. There's one in Moscow. They're all around the world. And they're not going to come forward, though, until their leader, Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius, which is our age now, until he comes forward. 2,000 years ago, the teacher who inaugurated the age of Pisces was Jesus, who taught the teaching of God's love. The Buddha taught God's wisdom. Maitreya comes to teach God's will. He says humanity is finally ready to seriously start doing God's will. He's here now in a physical body. He's the master that lives on the outskirts of London. There are people who know he's here, but they don't know exactly who he is yet.
14 masters, and you said they walked the earth 100,000 years ago?
Well, yes, they did, yeah, in physical bodies. More than 14, though. There are 63 all total. And we are told that by the end of the age of Aquarius, 2,000 years from now, there will be over 40 of them walking amongst us. And each of them will have an area of assignment. That's how they work. They each have a piece of the plan. So there will be, and they won't tell us what to do or make us do anything, Mark. That's the beauty of it. They're just going to make suggestions, and we have free will. We'll always have free will. That's how we learn, by choosing and then learning from our choices. And so they will make suggestions, and then we can either, it'll be very individual, we can either as individuals decide to follow the suggestion or try it or not. So there'll be a master giving suggestions in each field of life, like education, healthcare, government, ecology, every aspect of life. Each of the major religions will have a master helping them sort out some of the man-made dogma that doesn't serve humanity anymore, so that the religions will be more purified. As a matter of fact, one of the masters that's back now, I'm told, is the Master Jesus. He is the master who's living on the outskirts of Rome. The Pope and a couple cardinals around the Pope know he's here, but they've been asked not to say anything, because if the Pope tells the Catholic world that Jesus is here, then they'll believe it because he said so. And that would infringe our free will. We have to recognize them for who they are. But Jesus' job will be to help get the Christian church back on track. There will be no more popes. This is the last pope. Jesus will take his rightful place at the head of the Christian church. I think that's great news. So if there's any Christians tuning in that don't want to deal with Maitreya, the world teacher, forget him. Just deal with Jesus when he comes forward, which will be right after Maitreya. Actually, they'll probably see Maitreya and Jesus at some point standing side by side on television. Jesus will say, "This is my great friend, the Master Maitreya." And Maitreya will say, "This is my great friend, the Master Jesus." They work together all the time, I'm told. See, the masters have no egos. So they're not in competition with each other. They just work together cooperatively, like humanity will be more and more as we go forward.
Now, is the Maitreya a normal human being, or does he have abilities that are far beyond the typical person?
Oh, sure. He's one of the masters of wisdom, and they're called masters not because they're masters over us, but because they're masters over the physics of planet Earth, and they're masters over themselves. They are love and wisdom combined. And so, sure, all of the masters have the ability. First of all, they talk by telepathy. That's how they communicate, telepathically. That's how the spiritual kingdom communicates, telepathically. So that's how they communicate with each other. Secondly, you know, they're not subject to things like gravity, and they can control the forces of matter because they're not of the planet anymore. They're energy, which is what everything is made up of. So they can appear and disappear at will, right? I mean, people have had those experiences where they've seen someone who Benjamin Krem's master later confirmed was one of the masters, seen them walking down the sidewalk, and then they just disappear into thin air. It was reported by CNN when Maitreya appeared in Kenya before a crowd of about 6,000 people and spoke to them in perfect Swahili. So Maitreya and all the masters can appear in like 42 places at once, and you can shake their hand and talk to them because they are not controlled by the laws of energy that make up our planet.
So these masters, they can bilocate, is what you're saying.
Yes, and they can't be killed.
Okay.
Which is really handy. If they're going to be with us, helping us for the next 2,000 years, we need nobody to be able to kill them. Yeah. And their consciousness is unbelievable, Mark. I mean, people can't wrap their brain around this, but they're aware of us all the time, not judging. They don't judge us. We do that ourselves when we die, if you've ever read about after-death experiences. People have what's called a life review, where they look at their life and they see the effects that their actions had upon others, good or bad, and we're supposed to learn from that. So we judge ourselves. They don't judge us ever. They've been us. You know, the masters have walked like we have. They've been human beings, life after life after life. And so they've made all the mistakes we've made, you know, and they've had all the experiences we've had. That's the only time you can become a master is when you've had all the experiences available on planet Earth. They've been killed. They've killed people, you know, just like we have in previous lifetimes. They've been abandoned. They've been men, women. They've been every race, just like we will be before we become masters. And it's not a race. We can take our time. We've all had thousands. By the time you know you're a living soul, you've had thousands of lifetimes. And so that means you're on the final stretch. You may have, you know, a dozen or 20 or so lifetimes left, and we'll all eventually become masters and then decide where we want to go next. Pretty exciting. So, yes, they've all had all the experiences we have, so they just love us. They know what it's like to be hurt. They know what it's like to be angry. So they just love us. They don't judge us.
So, for example, the Maitreya then is 100,000 years old, or hundreds of thousands of years old?
Yes. He's, I actually don't know. But he and the Buddha were the first two human beings to graduate from the planet, to learn all the lessons that planet Earth can teach us and become a permanent spirit, a permanent consciousness in the spiritual kingdom. They were the first two out of humanity. So they're brothers. They work together all the time, too. They have different jobs, as do all the masters. But, yes, he's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years old. All the masters are, most of them, thousands of years old.
How does Buddha's job differ from Maitreya?
Well, Buddha is the go-between between the masters and God. Buddha is the messenger, but he's more than a messenger, obviously. He's full of tremendous love and wisdom. But his job is to work with the masters and with God to get things realistic and to get things right, and to inspire the right people and the right masters and so on. So he supports the masters in their work as he supports God in achieving God's plan on planet Earth.
So
whereas Maitreya's job is the head of the masters. He's the senior master, so he works with all the other masters, and he knows more of the plan than the other masters do. They all know so much we can't even imagine. Yeah,
so
interesting.
You were saying Maitreya has reincarnated again and again, and maybe in some lifetimes been a woman.
Sure.
Has he also lived as a normal person where he might have children and relations and a wife and all that sort of thing? Okay.
Every experience we've had, they've had.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And so we have thousands of lifetimes, and we keep learning from each lesson. You may have a lifetime where you're not interested in having kids. Then you may have a lifetime where you can't wait to have kids. I mean, we have all these different experiences. We're grandparents. We're not grandparents. We're grandchildren. We're aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, and so on. Yeah. That's why it doesn't make any sense to be prejudiced, because we've been every race.
Hmm.
Yeah. Besides, underneath that color of the skin is holiness. We're all sacred.
Are these masters, you said they had control over the physics of the planet, so to speak, or physics. Do you consider them all powerful, or what category? I mean, they could, for example, walk on water. They fly
yes.
around. They're not affected by gravity.
Right.
They can't be killed.
Right.
Hmm.
They travel by thought. So they just think where they want to be, and boom, they're there. You know, that kind of thing. But yes, they're all powerful. They're all knowledgeable. By all knowledgeable, I mean they have the knowledge of the ages. The one thing that they don't know, they can't predict humanity's behavior. They have a good idea, but they can't. They have an idea we'll do certain things, but one of the things they don't know is the timing, for example, because we have free will, and they're not going to force us to do anything they can't. One of God's great laws is the law of free will. And so we make choices, and our goal isn't to always choose right. Our goal is to learn from every choice and not make the same mistakes over and over and over. You know, it's free will is how we learn and grow, which is our job here. Learn and grow and serve, and according to the ageless wisdom. And so, I'm sorry, I forgot your question.
Oh, that's okay.
Powerful. Yeah.
Yes.
They don't make us do anything. We have free will. It's like, why does God allow all these people to starve to death? God isn't allowing it. We are. We need to take action to make sure everybody gets food. We have, in the Western world, we have grain sitting in huge elevators, storage areas. And if we don't get the right price for it, it sits there and rots. You know, a lot of the time, not all the time, but a lot of the time, too much of the time, and it never gets distributed. We have to set up distribution that works and worldwide so that everybody gets, there's enough food. There's a 14% per capita surplus of food in the world. And I mean, science just knows that, but it's not getting distributed. So people are dying every day. About every 9 seconds, somebody dies of starvation or a starvation related illness. That's our own complacency that's allowing that to happen, not God.
So the masters don't intervene to solve our problems?
They will help, but we have to take the actions first. In other words, you can't just say, help me get the right job. You need to go out and look. So we need to do it, and if we ask for their help, we will get their help for sure. They will help in a lot of ways, but they can't do certain things for us. For example, I asked Maitreya several years ago. I have a daughter that lives in Central California. I asked Maitreya, she had a serious problem, and I asked Maitreya to help her resolve that problem. And she called me, honest, Mark, she called me the very next day to tell me that problem had gone away.
That's good.
Now that's getting help, let me tell you. So, yes, they will help us. But they won't force us to do anything. They will give us opportunities. They do it all the time. They give opportunities. You might get a phone call from somebody that says, hey, you want to help me do so-and-so to whatever. And it might be an opportunity to help people. And if we say no, then the masters will just move on to somebody else who responds. We'll probably get another opportunity later. They present us with opportunities, but our free will, you know, we may do it, we may not respond to it.
Well, we're already down to about 5 minutes, so I'm just going to I'll let you have the stage, and then you can kind of finish up with whatever you think.
Well, sure. The one thing I want your listeners to know for sure is that I ask them to please don't believe anything I say, because that would be blind belief. And I can't recommend blind belief to anybody. I'm not here to convince your listeners that what I say is true, or to convince you, Mark, that what I say is true. I'm just here to give out my information and hope that maybe 10 or 20% of it makes sense to some people and maybe makes their life just a little bit better or gives them an idea of what's coming. When it happens, they'll have some sense of what's going on. But I'm not asking people to think like I think or believe what I say. That's too big a leap. I know I sound crazy half the time, but I'm used to that, and you wouldn't believe what I've been called. So, besides crazy. So what I want people to know is that this is despite the problems going on right now, coronavirus, starvation, we can't seem to end war, we can't seem to stop polluting the planet and killing it. Despite all of that, things are going to turn around. Because we're going to have great, great teachers. And I'm talking about within the next 2 to 3 years, I think. It's not official. It's my best impression within the next, maybe sooner, it could be tomorrow. We'll see the masters start to come forward one at a time. Maitreya will be the first one. By the way, Maitreya means the happy one, the one who brings joy. We will see these masters, and then we can either follow their suggestions or not. We have free will. Nobody will be forced to do anything, but it's a great time to be alive, a great time to be alive. We are being charged with helping turn the planet around. So it's a wonderful opportunity for us to serve the rest of the world and to serve each other and to serve ourselves, because we will be making choices that will help determine whether this planet turns around quickly or slowly. It will take time. Not everybody's going to believe who he is or recognize him for who he is when he finally comes forward. He'll come forward on radio and television, worldwide, probably. And he'll give us a glimpse of the past and a glimpse of the brilliant future we have ahead of us if we choose right. And there's a website people can go to. It's www.share-international.us. share-international.us. If they want more information. And like I said, Benjamin Krem has written many books, which are much easier to understand than Alice Bailey's, and they're available on Amazon. Krem, spelled C-R-E-M-E. But I think I just want people to know there's a lot of hope. And that they're going to be surprised. This is a really good time to be alive, because things are going to turn around, like I said, within the next couple of years. Now, everything won't happen overnight, but things will get better and better and better for people. Starvation will start to go away. We'll start to get more health care, things like that. It's first four priorities: health care for everybody, housing for everybody, food for everybody, and education for everybody as human rights. Now, that's real basic stuff, Mark, but those are his first four priorities. So he's not coming to be anything fancy, and he says, don't believe in me, don't follow me. Just respond to my teachings if they make sense to you. He's not here to start a new religion or anything like that.
Okay, Dick, thanks for coming on the show. Have a great day, sir.
Mark, I'm sorry about the confusion at the beginning.
No problem.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.